We've heard lots of messages about hellfire and damnation. Growing up, that's what we heard. Mom and Dad, whenever there's a tent service, I got dragged to the tent service. I got dragged every time there was a church service open. And usually it was preaching hellfire and damnation. But Elroy, we're here, so I guess it didn't do us too much harm. But I can tell you this, I think it was the wrong motivation. I think the right motivation is to preach what Paul said, the cross. Preach about the cross. Jesus went to the cross for you. That should be the motivation. He died for you. And we condemn ourselves, but we reject his offer for what he did for us. So my approach on this subject is going to be a little bit different. I want to give you some words that are translated hell. There are 7 Hebrew Greek words that are translated hell. I was debating on whether to start with the war in heaven or the words about hell, so I decided to give you the words about hell first. There are 5 departments of hell. There's different levels, is what I want to say. There's levels of hell. Some places are deeper than others. There's a good chance that probably in the bottomless pit might be the deepest one. Revelation talks about that. So another place called Tartarus is another place that's deeper than hell itself. And we'll be looking at some scripture verses to show you where I get this information, the geographical location of these places. Did anybody hear, I don't know how many years ago, I think it might have been in the 60s, where Russians were drilling, and they drilled so deep they began hearing screams, and they just, it would just startle. Does anybody remember that? Yes, I saw a couple of nods, yes. So, I had written someplace, the deepest places that man has drilled, and I wonder if I brought that paper along. Some of the deepest places men have drilled, somewhere around 4,000 miles is to the center of the earth, but we've only just scratched the surface. Only the surface did we scratch. I must have left that. All right, I'll have it for you next week. The actual depth of which man has drilled in the earth. Okay, if you need paper, there's paper in the Sunday school quarters. This is going to be a teaching lesson. There's paper in the Sunday school quarters. If you go to the back, there's like 3 or 4 empty pages that are made there for your convenience. You can go to those and tear them out because you might want to write these down. They don't change, they're the same. But depending on the type of Bible you have, you may not have a reference that tells you. This word Sheol, especially, is the one. Sheol is a Hebrew word that's translated 31 times as the grave. Now, when we say the grave, that's the scene world. The grave is cemetery in Mount Pleasant Mills, where your loved ones are buried. The grave is always referred to as a place where the body is residing for now. For now. When we get a new body, that'll change. But the grave, 31 times the word Sheol is used in the Old Testament, it means the grave. The very first place it was mentioned, I believe I have written here someplace, that was when Abraham was talking with the sons of Heth, was speaking with the sons of Heth, he was wanting to purchase a place to bury his wife, Sarah, of 127 years old. That's the first mention where Sheol is interpreted the grave. That's the first mention. I think it's somewhere around 35, Genesis 35, chapter 35. All right, let's get some words up here. And this is the easiest way I can tell you to pronounce Sheol. What do we have here so far? That's right. This is how you pronounce it. Sheol. Sheol. Just pronounce it Sheol. We're going to add an O and an L. Yes. 31 times 31 times, it's great. Here's the problem. This is why I wanted you to make some notes. Shul is also translated 31 times. Isn't that interesting? I get this from Phineas Genius Dake's Bible. That's the big one I have laying up here. That's information that he has researched. I'm taking advantage of all his research. And he has researched it thoroughly. Believe me, I have never seen anybody that did more research than Dake. When my first year of Bible College, I realize now that the president of the Bible College had a Dake's Bible. That should have gave me an indication what was the best study Bible to have, because he had it. I had a Thompson chain. It's pretty good. But after seeing the Dake's, no question, one of the best study Bibles ever printed. And this is the information I've gotten from Dake's. He did his homework. If he said it was 31 times, it was 31 times. I can trust you. Now, here's the situation. Shul is Old Testament. Of course, it's Hebrew. It's translated 31 times grave and also 31 times... Okay, so that's why it's important that you've got to understand. Now, Pastor, how are we going to know the difference? Well, in my reference Bible, it tells me the difference. Your reference Bible may not. The best advice I can tell you is to read the whole context. Don't just take the reference. And I have all the references anybody that wants them. I'm not going to take the time to write them down, but there's 31 references. Just read the entire chapter so you can get the context of what's being talked about. That way you'll understand or get a better understanding that this evidently is translated hell and not the grave. Now, some of the other words I'll give you are translated always the grave. Always. This next word is always translated the grave. I'm not sure the pronunciation. I didn't take time to find out what the pronunciation was of this one. I just had a little bit busy week today. This week. A little bit like Dale's. Okay. It's Q. Creeper? I don't know how you pronounce it. I'll find out for sure. Okay, Creeper is, again, it's the seen world. I'm going to use two terms, the unseen and the seen. The unseen, of course, would be hell, place of torment. Seen is always grave, place you can go visit. In Israel, they have ossuaries on the Mount of Olives. They're like cement boxes that families put their bones in there. So you can put a whole family of bones in one box. We have lots. We have cemetery lots. My mother informed me one time that we purchased 6 lots out in Richfield, so you know. And they were lots. And we bury in the ground. But they just don't usually have space. So the bones are put in an ossuary. Or as it was called, sepulchres, which is hewed out of stone. Many of the places are hewn out of stone, like the one that Jesus was put in. He was in the rich man's sepulcher. The rich man had a place for him, and he was put there. He was placed in there, and they're called sepulchers. The boxes are called ossuaries. We call them caskets or vaults. Okay? This term is always translated grave. It's translated 6 different ways. And I can just tell you those. It's real simple. Grave, singular. Graves, plural. Burial and burying place. Sepulcher and sepulchers. It's just single and plural. And that's scriptural. Those are the scripture references. I have one such. It was the one I was mentioning about Abraham. Talking with the sons of Heth, he wanted a burial place for his wife. Always where the body goes at death. Always. And here is another term. Of course, when I say Greek, what comes to your mind? No longer Old Testament. We're in New Testament. Boy, don't get me this one, I have no idea, but I'm going to find out because this is just a weird word. I've never seen a word like this. This is weird. I don't know how to pronounce it. Now, if you can pronounce that, praise the Lord for you. M-N-A-Y-M-I-O-N. It's Greek. It is also translated six ways, and very similar to this word. They're almost synonymous. Very much synonymous. Again, this always means the grave. Now, I make a special point because there are cults, and I don't like mentioning their names, but you'll know who they are if you visit on Saturdays. They do not believe in heaven or hell. And the scriptures that they will use will always be Old Testament scriptures that talk about the grave. And they'll read scriptures that there's no remembrance in the grave. Of course, there isn't. It's the cemetery and nobody remembers nothing. When it's talking about the body that's decaying, there is no remembrance. There is no consciousness in the grave. That's a fact. But I can tell you, the spiritual man has consciousness. And we'll deal with that when we talk about the departments of hell. We'll talk about that. There are 88 facts or scripture references proving that hell and the grave are not the same place. I may just have this printed for you. I might just read them, I don't know, but there's 88 scripture references proving that hell and the grave are not the same place. Okay? All right, these are two the Greek words, meaning grave, graves, tomb, tombs, sepulcher, and sepulcher. See, very similar. That's the six different ways that that word is used. All right, here's the next one. Here's the one that we're most familiar with. Anybody read that? Hades, a place of torment. That's torment. Hades is a place of torment. That's not the grave, that's a place of torment. It's translated hell 10 times. But did you know it's only translated one time as a grave? I wasn't aware of that until I saw that reference. And that reference is 1 Corinthians 15:55, where the Greek word Hades is translated grave. It's the only place Hades is translated grave, and I don't know why that is. Seems strange that that word would be used. Jesus used it. He talked about it a lot. In fact, that's the next one. How about Gehenna? How many of you ever heard of a place called Gehenna? Gehenna. It's a term that Jesus referred to. And of course, these places are both referenced to a place of torment. The reason that we have the word Gehenna, it is translated hell 12 times. It is never translated grave. Never. Now, Jesus referred to Gehenna, and when you're talking to these occults, you need to understand this scripture. Because these occults don't believe in heaven or hell. So when you reference to hell, you're going to talk that Jesus spoke of it. And he referenced, when he did speak of hell, he spoke of it as a reference to the burning dump outside Jerusalem where everybody would bring their stuff and then burn it. It was like a city dump. It was a city place where people could bring their stuff and burn it. And that's why it was burning most of the time. Just about every day, it was somebody would bring junk to burn. It was burning constantly. That's why Jesus referred to it. Now, if you look up the word Gehenna, it'll tell you a place of Hinnon, H-I-N-N-O, and Valley of Hinnon. Of course, again, it's referring to that place where people would take their stuff and burn it, the Valley of Hinnon. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's H-I-N-N-O-N. And it's, again, it's what Jesus referred to as Gehenna. Okay, number six. We'll be on number six. I didn't realize realize that this was Tartarus has written it. I thought that was the Greek word. Actually, that's Latin. This is one of the departments, probably the first department that we're going to talk about. This is located very low in the earth. Latin, it's actually, we have it in our King James as this one, Tartarus. Tartarus, I guess I'm not pronouncing it right. Tartarus. There are no humans. No humans go here. This is a strictly a prison for the angels that sin. No humans go here. This is a department of its own. God made a special place for the angels that sin. Jude in 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't know if we'll get into that. I have 15 minutes. We'll see. Very low in the earth, lower than Hades itself. Tartarus, a place where only the angels are. They're kept in prison in chains of darkness. And we'll talk about what they did maybe today. I'm not sure. If we get time. Okay, wow, I'm running out of room. And I can't pronounce this one either. This is the last one. It's Greek. And I'll let you guess what it is. There are five references, and they're all in the book of Revelation. So that gives you a clue. That should give you a strong clue of where that is. Now I'm going to write the Greek word for that. If I can write it down here. L-I-M-N-E-N-T-O-U. Wow. P. U-R-O-S. Try to pronounce that. That's Greek. Four. The lake of fire. That's the last department. We've actually talked about all but one. But that's the last one. That's the final place of torment. That's it. Don't get no worse than that. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. The devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, all cast into a place of the lake of fire. All right, so that does give me time to do this. All right, good. I'm running out of a little room here. Let's see how we do. There we go. What am I going to do with my podium? Brought it up here and didn't use it. Come on, Roger. You can do better than that. Now we're doing it. That's what I brought it up here for. There we go. Okay. All right, I want to read the first reference that we had. I told you the first reference for Sheol was found in Genesis, where Abraham was wanting to purchase property for to bury his wife. It was a burial place, so there's where that word is interpreted as a burial place for his wife, Sarah. I'll read it for you. Chapter 23. Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burial place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us, and the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but thou mayest bury thy dead. So verse 4, Sheol is interpreted as the grave. That's the first. I'm giving that to you because it's the first reference to the grave. So where is the first reference to hell? The place of torment. I'm looking for Deuteronomy, if that's where it would be. I'm in Deuteronomy. Is the place mentioned? The first place mentioned about hell? I guess I should look at that. That would help. Deuteronomy 32. I'm giving you the reference. Deuteronomy 32, 22. Here's how it reads. For a fire, a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto, and I want you to notice Lois, that word Lois, hell. I want you, that's a geographical word. Lois, hell. Levels, I told you, different levels in the earth. There's different levels, different depths where these departments are located. And the reference here is that I will kindle a fire in mine anger, and it will burn unto the lowest hell. Now God knows where all these are because He created them. And He's telling you it will burn to the lowest place in the earth. It will burn that far. And shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That's the first reference we have in the book of Deuteronomy on hell, a place of torment. Now, I'm going to see, I've got some time. I'm going to go to Revelation 12, if you have your Bibles. We're going to go to the war in heaven. We all think sin originated in the Garden of Eden. For mankind it did, but sin originated in heaven. It's where it started. Why is that? Because it was God's desire to give a choice. We all have choices. And even in His creation, of His angelic creation, He gave them a choice. Because it's important to God for people or any creation to have a choice. You see, God could have made us like robots and made us do what He wants us to do. All right? So what's so bad about that? I'll tell you what's bad about that. Well, how would you like if your spouse has to love you because I said so? Your spouse? You want to make the spouse love you? When I get people that get over-possessive of their spouse and they don't learn to trust one another, I think, wait a minute here. You see, I believe that God can put us together. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you make wrong choices. And even though you make wrong choices, God can override that and make good commandment. He can do that. But you'll be the one to see how that works. But if you pray about it and ask God to help you, to send me a spouse that could put up with me and live with me. And I'll tell you, He knows exactly who that is. It's important. Young people, it's important that you do that. Put God in your equation. Ask Him to help you. Because He'll give you the right person. So He gave the angels a choice. Because He just don't want to make anybody do anything, you see. They want to be able to do it of your choice. I choose to marry you. I choose to love you. I choose, Lord, to serve you. That's what God wants. He wants choice. He's a just God. That's why He has to give everyone, even His creation, a choice. He gave the angels a choice. Now, I've heard some theologians say, and I don't believe this for a minute, that the angels that still remain with Him, He froze their choice. That's stupid. Roger, I'm going to give you a nose, but don't use it to breathe. Come on. Get out of here. He didn't freeze no wills. Those angels are there because they choose to be there. After having seen what happened to the other angels, they probably thought, this is a pretty good choice. We better just stay here. We have it better here. You know, the angels are all different. They're not all the same. That we serve a God that makes us all different. We all have different fingerprints, and God makes different angels. They're all different. Every one of these angels are different. How do you know that? Well, Lucifer was one of the most beautiful angels created. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he said? Now, how about Michael? Well, you just need to see what Michael does. What does Michael do? He's a fighter. He's the archangel. He defeated the dragon and his angels, so that makes him very strong. Michael's one of the strongest angels in heaven. Michael told me. I didn't get that. I just get that from the scripture. He's the strongest one. You know he's in charge of Israel? God gave him charge of Israel. You can read it in Daniel. He's a prince. He stands for Israel. He stands for Israel. Okay. Revelation chapter 12, you're there? 3 and 4, let's see. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, you do your homework, you'll find out that the stars are referring to angels. He drew 1/3 of the angelic creation. We don't know how many angels, but the Bible says there's myriads of angels. Myriads. There's more than we can number. But Lucifer was able to get them persuaded to go with him. That's what he did here. His tail drew the third part of the stars and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Of course, that's referring to Mary. And the child was Jesus. As she brought forth a man child, that would be Jesus, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up. That's the resurrection. Into God, into a throne. That's the resurrection. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that she should feed her there 1,200 threescore days. That's 1,260 days. Now I did a little homework there. In the Bible land, Israel, a year, does anybody know how many days is in a year for Israel? We know there's 365 for us, right? There's 360 in Israel. There's 360 days to their year. So I did a little arithmetic in my margin. If you take 360 times 3, that's 1,080 and a half. That would be 6 months. That's 180 days. You add that up, you get 1260. Imagine that. It's exactly what the scripture says. Okay, now you know where I got. Verse 6. Verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That old serpent, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we see that this all happened before the earth, before man was created, before God did any creation work on the earth. Heaven, this all happened before that time. In the beginning, God created the what? The heaven and the earth. So heaven was first. This war took place first. This took place before God did anything with creating. All right. Ezekiel is our next place to go. In fact, these two places talk about what happened in heaven. These two places. Ezekiel 28. We're going to go to Ezekiel. If you have a reference, I want you to go to Ezekiel. This is what Ezekiel 28 talks about. Also, Isaiah 14 talks about the very similar thing that I'm going to read here in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 1 through 19. Reading from Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart's lifted up, thou hast said, I am a God. This is an actual earthly king. Tyrus. This is an earthly king. There is a parallel being drawn here between the earthly king and Lucifer. This is a parallel. who was another king that said some very same things as this king did. Does anybody remember? Babylon. Who was the king of Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar, thank you. He is another king, very much similar to this one, who talked the same way, walked out his balcony, and he's not, just look at all my empire, look at all the work of my hands, look at all I did. Big mistake. That was a big mistake. God put him down like an animal. He ate grass like an animal. God knows how to bring a man that's full of pride down. Well, this king, this prince of Tyrus, look how he talks. Who else is going to talk in the last days like this? The Antichrist. He's going to talk just as bold and boastful. He'll speak the same way. I'm a God. I set the sea, God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, not God, though I'll set thine heart as a heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten riches and gotten gold, silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Thine heart's lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall befoul thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. That's a department that we'll be talking about. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say beforehand that thou slayeth thee, I am God, but thou shalt be a man, no God in thy hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, say to him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13 is the parallel. It talks about Lucifer. Here we go. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy timbrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou was created. There we have a little bit of a description of what Satan looks like. Most beautiful angel ever created. Thou art the anointed cherub, set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, tells you where Lucifer dwelt, next to God's throne. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created. There you go. That's Lucifer. Till iniquity was found in thee, pride. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by iniquity of traffic. Therefore, I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. All right, got time yet to go to Isaiah 14. Very quick. Isaiah 14. Parallel scripture, similar to Ezekiel 28. Beginning with verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth that hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they that speak and say of thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread over thee, the worms cover thee. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And here was his sin. This is why he was cast out of heaven. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Gives us an indication where heaven is. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Two places. hell, a place of torment, and a pit. Bottomless pit, the abyss. When it talks about the pit, it's usually talking about the bottomless pit, the abyss. Gotta stop there. All right. We'll pick up next Sunday. Worship group, come. We're gonna have time of prayer.